This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
With you this morning. Are we on now? All right, we're on. Welcome to the New Capital Show. I think we've got the right buttons pushed now. We are live on the air now here from KPFT 90.1. It's a little past 10, and it is great to be with you this morning. We're going to do as much call-in as we can because I am just imagining that there are a lot of people who want to get in to talk about the conventions. And to talk about Sarah Palin's speech last night. The number, if you want to get on to talk, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Before we get to your calls, maybe I'll make a few observations. Community organizing really took it on the chin last night. I don't know if you watched the Republican convention last night. Two speakers in particular took some swipes, more than swipes, made really punches, full-on punches at Barack Obama's service as a community organizer in the early days of his career, a couple decades ago in the city of Chicago working on the South Side. I think this was after he graduated from law school. And so community organizing took it on the chin. I think Rudy Giuliani, former mayor and former presidential candidate in this election for the Republicans, made light of it. And also, of course, Sarah Palin, the vice presidential nominee for the Republicans, also took maybe a few swipes at it. I want to point out that a lot of what we do and a lot of what people associated with our radio station do is to organize communities. We're community organizers. And that this radio station serves as a focal point for many, many community organizers, whether they're working in environmental issues, social justice issues, anti-poverty issues, whatever. Community organizers come in all shapes and sizes, different flavors. They're liberal, they're conservative. Politics, at its heart, is an act of organizing a community. You want to get elected, you better organize a community to vote for you or your issue. And I'm very pleased to report that one of the New Capital Show's most recent efforts at organizing a community may have been our first actual effort to organize a community, appears to be bearing some fruit. This is from the Houston Chronicle, Wednesday, September 3rd. Mayor Bill White hopes that the new plan will lift Houston's recycling rate from the bottom of the barrel. Basically, what is happening is that the mayor's office and the solid waste department is crafting a recycling plan. I exchanged an email with Elena Marks in the mayor's office, who works on environmental policy, yesterday. I asked her to come on today, but they're not able to. We'll get her and Harry Hayes on, who is the solid waste director. And they are working on a 3 to 5 year plan to, as she puts it, really fully renovate the program. This is from the Houston Chronicle. Houston is poised to dramatically expand its recycling programs through a variety of initiatives aimed at ending the city's reign as the most wasteful major metropolis in the country. Look, I don't know if we're the most wasteful. I think many, many cities in our country are not doing what they need to be doing in recycling. Article by Bradley Olson goes on to say, stepped-up effort includes, and this is to me the most heartening thing, the stepped-up effort includes a pilot program using advanced technology that will allow participants to heave all of their recyclables, paper, seven types of plastic, aluminum, even glass, into a wheeled 90-gallon bin container that can be hoisted on a truck and sorted with little human effort. So, my friends, this is what we've been asking for. In the past few months, this is what we've been asking for. We've been saying that the current program with the little bins and the need to have so many people at the curbside sorting these things by hand and putting them into different compartments in the truck is not an efficient program, and people are not using the program because of the program design. Mayor's office and the mayor himself has made some comments to the press about Houstonians being independent, not going for trendy things, and I've pushed back against that. But let's also be very clear about why this has happened. Let's be clear about why the mayor's office is now leading a new effort to renovate that program. It's because of you and we. It's because of what we did together as a community. This began in May of this year with an article that came out, actually, in the New York Times. Felicity Berenger wrote an article talking about San Francisco and what a great job they do of recycling. And in the article, it mentioned Houston's very poor recycling rate, you know, the now oft-repeated 2.6%. That's an article that comes from Waste News. We're going to work on getting the reporters from Waste News onto the show. They're going to be on later in the year to talk about how they tabulate these figures and where they're getting these figures. But it was that figure that incensed us on this radio show, and we launched an online petition, and 1,100 of you went online, took the time to sign it, not just sign your names to the online petition, but include comments as well. And we then signed up to go to City Council one Tuesday afternoon. We showed up, we sat for 2 hours while the agenda kind of veered to the left and veered to the right and finally veered to us. I got up, I presented the petition, and made additional comments that I had prepared. And sitting in the audience that day were two reporters, Carrie Feibel of the Houston Chronicle, who covers Houston City Council, and Adam Ellick of the New York Times. Adam Ellick was sitting in the audience that day at City Council because I had told him that I was going to City Council. I did not call him, and I did not seek the New York Times. I'm going to tell you now, this is the first time I've told this story on the air, how the New York Times came to be sitting in the audience that day at City Council when I presented the petition and made additional comments. One Saturday, I'd been out of town, I came back, and that evening Adam Ellick had left a message for me saying, I may have told this story, I don't remember, maybe I told the story. Adam Ellick of the New York Times said, call me, I'm Adam Ellick of the New York Times. I'm temporary here as the Houston Bureau correspondent. I'm in an apartment in Midtown, and I've been looking for my recycling bin for how I recycle, because other places I live, I recycle, and there's no recycling bin. And I'm in an apartment. I've been told that apartments in Houston don't recycle, and you can't recycle. There's no curbside service at apartments. And he said, somebody told me that I need to get a hold of Leo Gold, a radio host at KPFT, who is leading a petition and a fight to change this situation. That's it, folks. That's the story. I talked to Adam Ellick that night. We had a very objective conversation. He asked me why I thought Houston didn't recycle. I said, I think it's because the policies have not been made to cause it to happen. And I said, I'm going to be showing up at City Council on Tuesday. It's open to the public. I'm sure you'll be welcome. And when I walked into City Council that day, as I say, Carrie Feibel of the Houston Chronicle, who was usually there, and Adam Ellick, who had never been to City Council in Houston, but who was following the story on recycling, was there and filmed it. My appearance at city council was put on the New York Times, along with an article that didn't reflect all that well on the city of Houston, and the rest is history, as they say. Since that time, appropriately, mayor's office, city council, solid waste department have been reevaluating, and that is exactly the appropriate response, and it is to their credit. It is to their credit that they are now taking action. It is to their credit. Mayor Bill White says in this article, we've got some very ambitious goals. He says, whenever we use landfill space in the dump sites, we're creating a time bomb for the future in our city. Environmental advocates, let's see, turn the page here. Environmental advocates say it's good, but it doesn't go far enough. I agree. But it's a start. We need to start somewhere. I'm particularly heartened about this single-stream automated collection that's going to be happening. Edward Chen, who is the deputy director of Solid Waste, says 20 years ago it had to be done by hand. Now it makes our collection and processing more efficient. What's being announced here is that 4,500 households are going to be included in this pilot program that have the new 90-gallon big bins. And you know the trucks, right? They come, they got the little grapplers on it. They pick up the, right now it's how they pick up the trash. They pick up the whole trash can, hoist it over the top of the truck, and everything dumps in. And that's exactly what's going to happen with recycling pilot program, as I understand it. You're going to put all your recycling into one bin. The truck is going to hoist it overhead, and it's going to drop it into the truck. The truck's going to then go dump the contents onto a conveyor belt, and that conveyor belt's going to go through a series of processing stations which can sort out the trash. That's exactly how modern-day recycling programs in successful cities are being done, and I'm happy to see this pilot program coming about. And as I say, this happened because we organized a community. We organized a community. This radio station organized a community. This radio show organized a community. And you spoke up and said, I'm part of a community. I'm part of the community that wants to see better recycling in the city of Houston. We got a lot more to go on it, but this is really good news. And as I say, furthermore, the Waste Department and the mayor's office appear to be, I'm told by Ms. Marks, working on a 3 to 5 year plan. How do we get from A to J? And then thereafter from, you know, what's after J? K? K to Z. I'm proud to have done some community organizing. And no community organizer should have to defend their record. With that, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Let's go to the phones. Freddie's been holding longest, I believe. Freddie, welcome. What do you think?
Hey, how you doing? Well, in response to what you're saying about the recycling, you know, it's really disheartening because, you know, there's a new refineries that are coming out called waste to fuel management. Basically, they take the waste from the landfills and they turn it into clean burning fuel to support the energy industry. And there's only one refinery that I know of being built in Seattle. There's 106 of them being built in Syria, Jordan, and the Middle East. And it's really disheartening to hear you talk about that and then and know about this technology, but we're not putting any money or nothing into it. You know, in the state of Texas, they're putting up coal refineries, you know, to pollute our environment even more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even at my own office, I protested to do recycling, you know, and I work in the West Chase area, and all the buildings refuse to do recycling because it's too expensive. It's too expensive to have another container blocking the parking lot. So we don't do recycling, which is appalling. Because the amount of paper that we waste in one day, you know, we could reuse that paper and recycle that paper.
Freddie, I've got a note here from somebody who works for the military here in town. I don't want to name any names here because I'm not authorized to. But this is somebody who's written and says, the email writer to me says I'm just steadily researching ways to influence my employer to do better. I would really like to start a recycling program, but my employer is not very supportive of ideas that come from employees. I believe that the only way is for them to be faced with consequences for not following legislation. I will keep doing my research, but I just wanted you to know that someone was out there trying to make a difference in my little corner of the government.
Definitely.
And I say the same thing to you. You keep at it. We all have to keep at it. I mean, results don't come overnight. And we are working for better tomorrows. And you organize your community, okay? You be a community
Definitely.
Organizer. You turn around and you tell Sarah Palin that, you know, community organizing is a noble calling.
Exactly.
Because it is. It is.
You know, and one thing I wanted to say is it's awkward that when you're talking about community service and community organizing when they're arresting citizens in the convention for community organizing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of, you know, contradicting what we're about. This is a free society. We're allowed to assemble and voice our opinion. And, you know, and right now I feel like we're in a military state because, you know, I'm scared to say something or scared to hold the community organization because I can be arrested according to the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's my main thing about this convention, about the Democratic Convention, is we have to get out there and we have to take our country back. I mean, like the 60s, you know, we in the 60s we were together. It's time for us to come back together like we were in the 60s.
Freddie, great to have you on. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
You know, folks, there's going to be talking politics today, but I want to make clear, this is a nonprofit radio station, and that means that we cannot support particular political parties. So the comments that I make today are going to be very tepid. Does not mean I am not a political person, but you can say what you want. Right, Laura? You can say what you want. I'm kind of the mediator here today. I can't support any candidates. This is a public community radio station. You can say what you want. 713-526-5738. What do you think? Tyrone, you're up next. Hey, Tyrone.
Yes. I heard you say that the mayor and the city council was getting behind the collection of the recyclables.
Yes.
About 2 months ago, I called for 311 and had them send me one of those little blue, little green recyclable bins. Right, so I put it out about a month ago. I got a letter saying, hey, it's too expensive for us to come out and collect your recyclables because the rest of your neighborhood doesn't do it. Now, I understand about community organizing and so on and so forth, but it seems to me that the city, the mayor and the city council would have more problems. They can send me a letter saying that, hey, we're not going to collect your recyclables because the rest of the people in the neighborhood don't do it. They can send out a letter and just say, hey, you guys need to send in your put your recyclables outside.
Yeah.
Or make it a mandate or something.
Okay, Tyrone, I'm with you, and I have made this point. I wrote a letter to Harry Hayes and to Elena Marks saying, you must understand what the problem here is where people are not putting recycling out in those neighborhoods. It's not that they don't care or that they don't know. It's that the program is not well designed. And they're starting to get that message, Tyrone. I don't know if they fully have that message. I've invited them to come on the air and talk about it. They will be coming on the air. It's not going to happen today. But I have told them that cutting off neighborhoods for not recycling is not the way to go about it. Now, if they cut off a neighborhood because they're not recycling, what they should say is, we're cutting you off, but we want you to know we are redesigning the program because we think that you may not be recycling, not for your fault, but because of the way the program is designed. The bin sizes are not right and the collection types are not right, and we will return. Like MacArthur, right? Remember MacArthur said, I will return?
Right.
I want the solid waste department, if it's going to abandon a neighborhood under the current program with the little green bins, I want them to say, we're leaving, but we will return. We will return after we've successfully done this pilot program with the new bins and the new trucks and the new sorting facility. We will return. That's what I want them to say to you, and I hope they will say that to you, and I'm going to work hard to see that they do say that to you, okay? So hang tight, okay?
All right.
Thanks for the call. 713-526-5738. This is the New Capital Show. People want to talk recycling. Look, recycling, I kind of wanted to talk politics today or listen to you talk about politics, but recycling is a hot issue. You know, I look at the Houston Chronicle online fairly, you know, once a day, and I look at, they've now got these forums at the bottom of each article. You can post your comments and say what you want to say. And very often, you know, they're right wing to the max. I mean, they are woo. but the recycling issue almost universally garners consensus, almost unanimous support of everybody from all walks of life and all persuasions. This is a winner, okay? Recycling is a winner. It's good for the city. It's good for its people. It's good for the environment, and it's good for the mayor and in the government of the city. And so this is good news that we are starting to get out of the mayor's office in response to the press that's occurred lately. That came in response to our efforts to organize this community. Okay, next up is going to be Evelyn. Evelyn, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Leo, and thank you very much for what you've done. A few years ago, we didn't have recycling on my street. It's a mixed-use neighborhood, some commercial and some residential, and they finally agreed to give us some recycling, but now they've seemed to have quit coming down our street. I'm not sure why. I guess there weren't enough people doing it, but I really appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate the way you've forced the mayor's hand here. I am a little concerned about another issue, and I'd like to know if you know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Some months ago, actually during the last election, I think, the mayor was going around talking about how he was concerned about the benzene and the butadiene and that he was going to have a nuisance ordinance. And then there was something about the Texas legislature saying, no, they're going to take that out of the hands of the city, but that didn't pass. And then I think that's been dropped, or else I haven't heard about it. Has the mayor given that up? I did read that the Greater Houston Partnership was going to have a private meeting with him, and after that I didn't hear anything. And I did hear that maybe he's going to take it to the companies on a case by case basis.
Evelyn, I don't know where the situation on air quality is right now. I can tell you that if we can get Elena Marks on the show, she can address it. It has been an important issue for the mayor. Maybe somebody can give us a call or email me during today's show. Somebody from I think you're talking about GASP, which is the Galveston Houston Association for Smog Prevention. Which, by the way, they're going to be holding an all-day seminar. I think it's, what's the date that's going to be on? I'm going to be appearing at that. That's going to be on September 30th, beginning at 9 a.m. I don't have all the details here, but you can visit their website.
Okay.
And that's going to be an all-day convention held by GASP at 9 a.m., beginning at 9 a.m. again on September 30th, and I'm going to be speaking at that. And there, I'm sure, are going to be speakers who are going to be addressing the issue of air quality in the city of Houston. So there's
great.
A lot of information. Go to their website. If somebody wants to send me something during the show today, I'll see if I can get it announced on the air. Okay.
Great. Before you let me go,
yes.
I was really appalled by the gutsy abusiveness and rudeness of Sarah Palin yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
She was like a pit bull dog waiting for a fight. I don't know why she's so angry.
Yeah, she announced what she was. She said, what's the difference between a pit bull and a hockey mom with lipstick? Answer, I'm sorry, what's the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Answer, lipstick. And that's and she proceeded to show exactly that. So that's fine. That's her right.
Well,
it's her right to be on the ticket.
That's her right. What's so disturbing is that the core base of the Republican Party is so angry. They're the party of the haves, aren't they?
I don't know, Evelyn, but you said something earlier. I forced the mayor's hand. I did not force the mayor's hand. People signed a petition, and I delivered that petition.
Thank you.
You forced the mayor's hand. Everyone spoke up and told the mayor and the city council and the solid waste department, this is what we want. All of you said that. And you have the chance to do that in an election, in a presidential election, too. If you don't like what Sarah Palin said, or you don't think she's experienced enough, hey, fine. You will have the chance to step into a voting booth in November and say so. And that, my friends, is how, if you want to talk, that's how you should talk.
Well,
that's the walk you should walk.
Well, for certain, but it concerns me that she has appealed to people, and it's not what she says. She's perfectly entitled to saying that and to be who she is, and it's McCain's choice. But what concerns me is that what she was saying was so
aggressive.
Aggressive, not only that, and destructive of what you're talking about, of the community service and so on, and what Barack Obama has offered to the country, which was really a way to energize everybody to work together towards an end. And now the fact that she's appealed to so many people seems, or at least the base, seems to try to take this dynamic away from the hope that we might have some changes in this country away from war for oil and so on, and it ties into the anger of these people, and I don't know what they're angry at or who they're angry at, but they seem to revel in it. And
Evelyn, thanks.
She's a champion. Thank you.
Thank you. This particular way of this particular approach by the Republican Party has always held appeal. Seems to me to have always held appeal to supporters of the party. An aggressive approach. It just seems, and you know, I think people understand where I'm coming from and what my beliefs are. That approach has become overly counterproductive, but it does have appeal. It does have appeal. We will see how much appeal it has. I was kind of amazed. I went to CNN.com last night, which strikes me as kind of a more middle-of-the-road news outlet. You know, it's not the San Francisco Chronicle, and it's not some of the liberal blogs. It's CNN, I think, which is a station that's probably watched by a centrist type of viewership. Probably lots of Hillary Clinton supporters would be in the audience of people who watch CNN. And I saw probably 90% of the comments running negative. 90% of the comments running negative about Sarah Palin's talk last night, many of which said that was just insulting, over the top, and I'm out of here. So I don't know. I want to hear from you. 713-526-5738. The lines are full up right now. I'd like to get some. I see lots of familiar names. We're going to get you on. But I'd like to see some new voices calling in today and telling me what you think. Let's take John on line four. John, welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning. Enjoying your show.
Good. Thank you.
Say, I want to double check on something you said about. Did you say the city was thinking of going to big green bins about the size of our black garbage
yes,
can?
Yes, yes. They're going to do a pilot project. That's right, John.
Well, let me say a couple of things.
Yes.
My wife and I have participated in the program. We live on the southeast side of town around 45 in the Beltway. And most of our neighbors participated when we first got the green boxes, but not very many do now. And I don't have room for another. In fact, I even keep my black garbage can outside because I've got too many things in my garage.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no room for a green bin the size of that.
Yep.
And I would be willing to help the city participate in a survey. I'd walk my street and take 2 or 3 hours. But I just want to say that a great big huge green bin for neighbors is going to make it worse.
I know, John, it's going to be an issue. There's no question. There's no question that that's going to be an issue for a number of people. Where do you put another large bin? Now,
okay, let me go on to something else.
Okay.
Because I got 2 or 3 things I don't want to take.
I don't want to take 2 or 3 things. I got a lot of callers. We're full up today, John. I'm sorry. I can't
okay,
do 2 or 3. I can do one more. So pick the one that's most important to you. That's we got a full house today.
2 sentences.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough hazard waste pickup points in the city. That's one. And finally, I am really scared about the collusion of police powers and the Republican Party in harassing reporters in every election we've had since Bush came in.
Right, and of course we know our colleague Amy Goodman was arrested with her producers.
I listened to her program fairly religiously,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to say that we've got a real threat, and let it go at that. Appreciate what you're doing.
Great to have you on. Thank you, John. Right. Thanks for the call. That's going to be an issue. If we have a couple large bins, what I'm advocating is that we not have 2 large bins. I'm advocating 1 small bin for trash and 1 large bin for recycling. That's something we're going to watch very, very closely on this pilot program. Because if you give 2 people 2 large bins, 1 for trash and 1 for recycling, you're still not creating an incentive for them to recycle. They must reduce the size of the trash can. The trash can must be smaller and the recycling bin must be bigger. We're going to watch that very closely, and if they throw out a big recycling bin and keep the size of the trash can the same, they may not get any results from that either, because people are going to continue to fill up that trash can. If they really want to do a good experiment, they would put out some, half of the population would get a small trash can, get their current big trash can replaced with a small trash can, and the other half would get to keep their big trash can, and they would measure the differential in recycling rates between the two populations. Then you've got a controlled sample, and I guarantee you dollars to donuts that those with the small trash can will have higher recycling rates. We're going to see how they design that program very carefully, whether they want us to look over their shoulder or not. Let's take Ray. Is this our friend Ray? Is this Ray Hill? Hey.
Well, I hope so.
It's great to have you on, Ray. What do you think?
Well, I'm listening to your callers, and there's a lot of wisdom out there, and so they cut some of my issues down. I can't pick between candidates and parties because my voice is too identifiable with the radio station.
For those of you who everybody knows, but just in case those of you don't know, Ray Hill is the host of The Prison Show and one of our icons and legends here at KPFT.
But you know, there seems to be one party platform that's held together with phony issues. And by phony issues, I mean, I'm going to mention three. Nobody wants anybody's silly gun. Second Amendment's fine. There are some people who sometimes get concerned about the body count of the careless availability of guns.
Mm-hmm.
But the Second Amendment is intact and will remain intact and even has my stupid support.
Yeah, I don't want anybody's guns.
Right. And another issue that is that nobody's going to get elected and bring in the Fairness Doctrine, which is supposed to get rid of conservative talk show radio.
It's not going to happen. The Fairness Doctrine is dead.
And the FCC, even if you brought the Fairness Doctrine back, if the FCC cannot, by its charter, interfere with opinion or ideas, it has to do with candidates' access to free, not even paid time. And so that's what that is. I mean, I'm one of the few people around that have a first phone FCC license because I had to have one to be manager of that radio station. And there is another issue that is really getting a lot of play. I was listening to Newt Gingrich on my favorite news program last night, and his new book is called Drill Here, Drill Now, Pay Less. I strangely, in spite of my poverty, came from landed Texas gentry. My ancestors bought land because they were farmers, and I don't own an inch of surface rights, but I do own mineral rights. And I have mineral rights that used to produce oil. But whenever there were two prices of oil, new oil and old oil, the people who operate those wells stop producing that oil, leaving over 1 million barrels under my land alone, not to mention all the surrounding lands and all the surrounding counties in Texas.
Yep.
The reason the oil companies don't go in there and open those wells and get that oil out is because the more price they can get on expensive imported oil, the more profits their corporations make.
Yep.
And so we don't need all this alleged virgin territory that we're not supposed to touch. We've got that available now. All they have to do is make the business decision to go get it.
Yep, that's right. Ray, thanks. It's great
to
have you.
Thank you, sir. I love your show.
Thanks. It's great to have you on.
Bye-bye.
You know, folks, you saw, if you watched last night, you saw the spectacle of a room full of people chanting, drill, baby, drill, drill, baby, drill. If you followed our show for a long time, you know that there is not enough oil in this country to meet the current level of demand that we have. And the idea that we are going to be energy independent by drilling is a farce. You know, if you don't believe me, look at T. Boone Pickens. This is an oil man, and he's finally telling everybody the truth and the way it is. Now, Ms. Palin, bless her soul, wants to drill in Alaska because do you know what happens for every drop of oil drilled in Alaska? Alaskans get paid. They get paid. They get paid a little royalty. So Ms. Palin has every incentive to drill for more in Alaska. And she was right last night. I don't remember exactly how she put it, but she said, and believe me, folks, we have you know, enormous resources, something like that, in my state. She's right. They have enormous resources. But the question is, in comparison to what? In comparison to our level of consumption of petroleum in this country, they do not have enormous resources. In fact, production peaked in Alaska in 1988 or so. And bringing on the National Wildlife Refuge is not going to change that production curve. It's not. Alaska has provided a lot of oil, but it's peaked. And is there a lot of oil there? Yes. The question is, in comparison to what? And if you watch and if you parse the words that they use, the Republicans use when they talk about oil supply, they never say, we've got enough for independence. Watch them closely. They never say that. What they say is, we got a lot. A lot compared to what? Compared to the 8 billion barrels a year that we burn? That's more than the entire reserves that they have in Alaska. They're not telling you the truth, and if you believe it, you're a sucker. And that's that. So drill, baby, drill. Fine, we can do it. It will not get America where it needs to be. And we'll be back a decade from now with the same problem. You want to get independent? You're not going to drill your way out of it. You've got to take some more radical measures. Next up, let's take Larry on line six. Hey, Larry, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mr. Gold. How are you doing?
Great to have you on.
Thanks for having me. Well, I'll tell you what, I ain't no sucker.
Okay.
I ain't no sucker. I listened to the Palin speech last night, and I tell you what, she is a great speaker.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that she bashed community organizers turned me off right away.
Boy, that was mean.
Not only was it mean, it was incorrect. And anybody that believes that community organizing is easy, or that it doesn't count for any experience, is a sucker.
You know, Larry, I think that the reason they went in that direction is because they feel so attacked, or she has felt so attacked in the campaign, the McCain campaign, has felt so attacked in the past few days about her experience. And I've never in the past few days said anything about her experience, she's qualified or not qualified. I mean, McCain can put Mickey Mouse on the ticket, frankly, if he mm-hmm. that's his right. They have felt so attacked, and they have turned that, of course, for political purposes, into she is being attacked in a small state, population-wise, and as a small town mayor and resident, she's being attacked.
Right.
So how much better would it have been if she would have said, you know, I've been attacked for being a small-town mayor. I don't want to be attacked that way. I don't attack anybody else, and I don't attack community organizers or anything. No. Here she's saying,
she would have took the route of Obama.
Right.
Which he does. He doesn't attack.
He doesn't attack like
he
that.
He doesn't attack. Now, let me ask you something. I'm curious what you think about this. Now, if that attitude is taken into the White House, both Palin and McCain, where they feel attacked, and now they need to act, they need to provoke, what is that going to do to our international
relations? Larry, this is the $64,000, maybe $64 billion question. Who's going to win this election? I don't know.
If they take that type of
who do you want to see
the White House?
Who do you want to see win the who do you support?
I'm a Obama supporter.
Have you
100%?
Okay.
And
well,
I'll tell you what, I'm a Republican.
Okay.
And I'm an Obama supporter.
Okay. Well, if you want Obama to win, then you better get out there and do some things.
Oh, I definitely will. I'm a social worker. And,
that's all I can say.
Let me ask you one more thing about your recycling initiative.
Real quick.
What can we do to ensure that that pilot program comes to our community?
What you can do is, if you are not on our mailing list for the New Capital Show, then go to newcapitalshow.com and get yourself on our mailing list. There is no more important thing you can do, because if I need to communicate, we're going to stay on this. If I need to communicate with all of you and say, you know, we're going to head down to City Hall because the pilot program's not designed right, then I need to get a hold of you.
Right.
Okay? So I need your email address so I can get on. I'm not going to use your email address for anything else other than to address you directly, okay?
Right.
But that's the first thing you can do. Anybody out there who's interested in this and you want to see recycling go forward, you got to get on our mailing list. A lot of you are already on our mailing list, but if you're not, newcapitalshow.com on the right-hand side of the page, put your name in. We ask for your gender and your zip code as well so that we can know who's listening to our show.
Right.
But that's all we ask, your name, your email address, your zip, and your gender. We don't do anything with the information other than to contact you directly and try to understand who listens to us. Okay, Larry?
Well, thank you for organizing our community around your initiative.
Great to have you on the show.
Thanks.
Okay, we got one line open, 713-526-5738. Let's take Bill next. Bill, welcome to the show.
Bill, Leo, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Bill? What's on your mind?
I'm fine, my friend. I got to tell you, I saw that performance last night, and she does speak well. Basically, she must be the love child of Rush, Limbaugh, and Ann Coulter.
Right.
All the clever quips she was throwing out, it's basically a product of talk radio. So,
yeah.
And I am a little confused. I thought towns or cities or states were organized communities. So I don't get that whole thing at all.
Yep.
And then finally, the Republicans, they want to have it both ways. If she's a pit bull with lipstick, then she has to accept any attacks that, you know, basically come her way as far as, you know, looking at her background.
Mm-hmm.
The hypocrisy is just, you know, the first thing you do is say the media is being unfair, it's being sexist, but she self-described herself as being, you know, bulletproof and a pit bull with lipstick. So I just don't understand.
Thanks for the call, Bill.
Take care.
You know, folks out there, if you are pro-choice, if you believe in the right of a woman to choose to have a child that has been conceived or not, which currently as it stands is the law and it is protected by the judgment and ruling of the Supreme Court, then I would think that this nomination would be of concern to you. You know? And this issue with Sarah Palin's daughter, it's a difficult issue. It's not an easy issue to think about. In large part for me, because I cannot tell you how often I have heard people who are now the most vocal, rabid supporters of Sarah Palin absolutely denigrate communities where teenage pregnancy is a serious and ongoing problem. Oftentimes, those are minority communities, maybe black communities, maybe Hispanic communities. And the right-wing people who are now the most rabid supporters of Sarah Palin have spent their careers using teenage pregnancy as a totem for criticizing those communities. And suddenly, their candidate has this issue in her own home, and I'm sympathetic to it, and I believe that young lady should have the choice to do what she would like to do. If she wants to get married to this young man, she should get married to this young man. If she doesn't want to get married to this young man, she shouldn't have to get married to the young man. If she wants to have the baby, then she should. And if she doesn't, then she shouldn't have to. Because I'm pro-choice. But I'm seeing a little bit of hypocrisy here. Not directly from Sarah Palin. I've never heard her say anything about teenage pregnancy. But certainly from the supporters. Seems to be an issue. I don't think it's a major issue in her candidacy, nor should it be. Nor do I think the experience issue is the issue. I think the issues are the issue. Next up, let's take Teresa. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, I'm so fortunate to get on. I had two brief issues. One is, I've seen letters to the editor, and some people are saying, you know, I put my things out, and we don't have enough recycling in our neighborhood. I don't put my recycling bin out every week because I reduce, and then I reuse, and then I recycle.
Yep.
So, you know, you might only see my recycle bin out once a month, but it's got trash that I've picked up everywhere. I mean, if I see some cans on the highway and, you know, or on, in a parking lot, and I think I can recycle them without really cruddying up my car, you know, I'll take them home and put them in my bin.
Well, you're far ahead of all of us, me included.
But part of that education about recycling has to be encouraging people to actually reduce their consumption and, you know, think about, you know, think about it. And I agree with you that those huge bins doesn't encourage people to think about the larger picture. Because we have people at church and they think that recycling aluminum means that you can take these aluminum pie tins that are just covered with pie and recycle them. Those are not recycled, recyclable. You know, if you get a big lasagna in these things, that's not good. The other thing that I think is most worthy of discussion is this concept that wasting is chic or throwing things away shows that you're rich or you're wealthy. And I think that we have this mentality. It's the whole, drill baby drill kind of thing. People think, well, if I waste a lot, that must mean I'm rich. And I sent you, an article from an economist one time, a guy named Stephen Landsberg, the armchair economist. And he did his last chapter on the environment. I skipped straight to that chapter. I was so turned off. Because he said, as an economist, he said, waste. He said, my 5-year-old child came home telling me to recycle, and I told her no. And he went to the teacher and said, don't you take my child and force this information on them. He said, waste as much as you can. It's good for the economy.
Teresa, waste is not cool.
I know.
Thanks.
So this whole thumbing your nose people that try to be prudent, I hope that the religious right and the conservatives actually give some more thought to that, because the whole approach that's being conveyed that we're wealthy because we waste or that we bully people is it's not prudent.
Thanks for coming on.
Bye.
No, waste is not cool. I think more and more people understand that, and I think increasingly people understand that. This is the New Capital Show. It's 10:46. We've got just about 10 minutes left in our call-in segment before we have to go into wrap-up mode. We've got 5 people holding on the line. We've got 1 open. Nope, looks like it's taken 2. Let's take Willie next. Haven't heard from our friend Willie in a bit. Hey, Willie, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Leo. The whole purpose of recycling is to reduce greenhouse gases. Is that correct?
It's one of the purposes, Willie. It's also to reduce the impact of mining and fuel consumption, which of course is a greenhouse gas. So there are a variety of issues that lead us to recycle.
Okay. Well, my purpose of calling is to address greenhouse gases, and it's my report on global warming has been printed in the Journal of American Science, Volume 4, number 1.
Okay.
And I'm just saying to you all that in the future you're going to realize that cleaning the air will not reverse global warming.
Okay.
Crude oil fuels this planet, this biosphere that we live in. And I go, without going all into details, I just hope you all can go to the library and pick it up, the Journal of American Science.
Tell us again what is your issue? What issue you appear in?
Global warming. The reason why. It's
no. What is the volume number that you appear in of the Journal of Science?
Volume 4, number 1.
Okay, we'll take a look. Thanks,
Thank
Billy.
Thank you.
Next up, let's take Rick. Hey, Rick.
Man, I thought you were never going to get to me.
We got a full house today.
Yeah, well, you know.
What's on your mind?
I think part of the problem with you guys and Palin is that she's tough and she's good and she's likable, and I think that's why a lot of people just plain old don't like her. Because there's a lot of people who just don't like her. The reason they're dogging out community organizers is a lot of them are just professional critics. They're people who don't do anything they critique. They're professional malcontents. And it kind of goes along with that thing, those who can do, those who can't critique. And that's part of the thing. And as far as her being tough and looking for a fight, I don't know about you, but it is a man's world. And I don't know any woman who's gotten to a position of prominence who hasn't been able to be tough and stare people in the face and not back down and stand up to the bullies and the good.
Okay, well, Rick, Rick, I think there's some truth in what you say there, and I think Sarah Palin has got herself a fight. That would be my guess.
And not
just a fight with Joe Biden and Obama, but my guess is she's probably got a fight with a large segment of the American media at this point, which she may not care about, but you know, we'll see.
What she said is that this guy Obama is a sham. He's not telling you. He's Ted Kennedy without the guts to tell you that he's mm-hmm. Ted Kennedy. He's, you know, he's this and that and the other thing. When he's the standard old liberal, he's the standard old guy. Everybody knows what he is if he would come out and tell him, but he doesn't have the guts.
Mm-hmm.
He at least comes out and says, yeah, this is who I am and what I am. Take it or leave it. So why do you guys dog her out because she's got the guts to do what your man won't?
No, I haven't dogged her out. I did not.
You're nonpartisan, right?
I'm not allowed to take a party side formally on the radio.
Who I support?
I'm sorry?
So why aren't you asking me who I support and that you know what my issues are and why I'm, you know, what I should do to go out and make sure that I'm, you know, come on, man, it's a big scam.
Who do you support?
I support McCain, and it doesn't. And you're wasting people's time because everybody knows Texas is going to go Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So tell them to go out and protest and organize and all that. Why you ought to push the recycling? At least the recycling gets something done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, man! Don't be a sham. You're smarter than that. You're a more honest guy than to come out and.
You're saying you don't like when the show talks politics.
No, I don't like it when you present it like, oh yeah, we're nonpartisan and I can't say anything, and then you do everything but come out and say vote for Obama,
mm-hmm.
and then try to act like you're actually walking the line of being nonpartisan on air and stuff. Come on, man, everybody knows KPFT is liberal as all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys can deny it all you want, and you know why is that not dishonest? You always talk about the dishonesty and the hypocrisy of the Republicans and the right-wing radio and stuff. What about you guys? Why don't you address that?
Okay, well, let's hang up, and I think you make some excellent points, and I'd like to address them. May I do that?
Sure.
Okay. I think Rick makes some excellent points. I would generally say that the approach of this community radio station is what would be called progressive. And there is going to be a natural affinity between a progressive viewpoint and certain political parties. That's just a fact. There are other community radio stations, maybe nonprofits. Some of them may be, from what I can tell, religious in nature. And those tend to be more closely copacetic with conservative Republican-type politics. We, however, have an obligation to uphold the letter of the law here. And we try to uphold the spirit. We do our very best. But when we talk about issues... And we talk about issues like energy independence or energy efficiency and consumption, recycling, these sorts of things. They tend to have a natural affinity with one party or the other. And therefore, people who listen to the station tend to have an affinity with one party or another. Although there are many listeners to this station who are not Democrats. They're not in any political party. They regard themselves as independents. And they call the show all the time. So I think it's a fair point, and I always value when Rick calls the show, and I value any conservative who calls the show, and I'd like to get more of you coming in, frankly, to talk about your ideas. So there it is. And I think that's more than any other, you know, talk show is going to say here in the city of Houston. There are other stations on AM that simply don't welcome liberal calls whatsoever at all. Most of them don't. I think all of them don't. Let's take Chris. He's next. Hey, Chris, we've got just a couple minutes. What's on your mind?
Okay, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay, I was just calling. I've been a little bit in line with the last caller,
mm-hmm.
and it has to do with the media, the role the media is playing, and favoring one candidate against the other.
Mm-hmm.
The CNN group, you know, did that with Hillary and cost her that election with all the negative, everything they said about that woman throughout the election. It was all negative.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to do the same thing again with Palin, and I think that was unfair for them to use their office to campaign for some, you know, for a candidate. I listen to your show every now and then,
mm-hmm.
and I would like for you to stay neutral as much as possible. You know, you give your views, but try not to favor one candidate against the other. Say things, you know, have even ground, you know, for those candidates. You know, they're all human beings, and they aspire for the same, you know, for the same goal.
Chris, thanks. You know. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for your comments.
Okay.
As I say, I do my very best to not say I'm a supporter of this candidate or that candidate. I do my very best to talk about the issues. And if a candidate gets up and gives a speech that to me is devoid of talking about the issues and is an ad hominem attack on another person's credentials, then I think it's fair to say that, and that's what I saw last night. I mean, I read back over the speech, and I was looking for information on what we're going to be doing about the issues in this country, and I didn't see a whole lot of it, if anything. We may get that tonight from John McCain. So I think that's a fair statement for a nonpartisan observer to make. I do think the media has gone after her in certain ways that is inappropriate. I think that there are other questions that are entirely appropriate. And the same thing has happened to Barack Obama earlier this year with several of those controversies. So that's how I see it. It's my hope that both of the campaigns will turn to look at the issues that we face, because it's those issues that are incredibly, incredibly important. I want to again bring your attention to something called Project Vote Smart. And we have a link to it on last week's show. So if you go to newcapitalshow.com, and this is an online effort to tabulate where candidates stand on certain issues. And I think this is a time where all of us need to reach down deep inside and think about, what are the issues that are important to me? George Lakoff, who is a linguist, says, well, that's not how people pick candidates. He's done a lot of extensive research into how people pick candidates, and oftentimes it's not on issues. It's based upon kind of how they feel or what's the emotional appeal. And I think that both of these campaigns understand what George Lakoff is saying very well. They understand that people may not be making decisions based upon issues. They may be making them based upon how somebody looks or what their appearance is, or are they aggressive in their attacks or not aggressive in their attacks. And all that's valid. Lakoff does not say that's not valid. Those are valid reasons for people to choose a candidate. But it seems to me that the things that people will do or claim they will do and may well end up doing when they get into office, that these are crucial things for people to take a look at when they select a candidate. And if a candidate gets up in front of a major audience and does not have anything to say about those issues, then that would be of concern to me. I'm not saying that there's not going to be ample opportunity. I know that there will be. I didn't see it last night, and I hope that we'll hear more about that from all of the candidates, from all of the parties. And that includes independent parties as well. And I've always said that if there's an independent party that meets your criteria and there are candidates running in independent parties that meet your criteria, then they are worthy and deserving of your vote. I didn't see a lot of issues last night. That's all I'm saying. I'm not endorsing anybody. I haven't endorsed anybody today, and I'm not going to do it. But I have a problem with not hearing about issues, but hearing about somebody attacking someone for having organized a community. That's what we do here at KPFT. We serve as a means to organize communities so that people can take on issues that they care about and make change. This has been another edition of the New Capital Show. I hope you have a great week. We will be back next week with another edition. As always, newcapitalshow.com is our website. Thanks to Laura for engineering the show, and thanks to Bob for producing the show and being here today, keeping me company. Take care.
Energy dependence altering our country's place in the world, and how might this affect your future? On September 18th at 7 p.m., hear Michael Clare discuss his latest book, Rising Powers, Shrinking Planet, The New Geopolitics of Energy, and describe how the neocons' prediction of a new American century didn't pan out because of shrinking energy resources and U.S. dependence on foreign petroleum. Clare, who is a frequent guest on NPR and Democracy Now!, we'll speak and sign books in Fondren Hall at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, 5501 Main Street, across from the Houston Museum of Fine Arts. Claire will sign books after his talk. For more information, see hpjc.org or call 281-414-1386. This free public event is sponsored by the Houston Peace and Justice Center, KPFT Houston.
Over 2 million Latinos took out to the streets of our city, small and large, throughout the whole country to make a statement and to make a difference. Well, everyone took notice, and after 10 days, it all went silent. Where do we take it from here? We walked for hours to make a statement. What is your statement? Change an entire lifetime. Make your time count. Register to vote. That's where the real power lies. Make your next marching line be the line to the...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.